This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this is Open for Business here on Enterprise. Now, imagine watching a movie relying mostly on subtitles because you can't hear the dialogue clearly, or having to ask someone to repeat themselves multiple times because you can't hear like you used to do. Gradual hearing loss can be an unpleasant ordeal for both the person experiencing it and loved ones of the individual as well, as they look to cope with that situation. On the phone line with me, I have Kelvin Lee. He is the founder and CEO of Listening Labs, and they are currently the fastest growing chain catering to hearing aids with 5 branches, inclusive of a mobile center here in Malaysia. Kelvin, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Rich. Thank you for having me on. I'm glad to be here to share what I have to share.
Absolute pleasure in having you on the show. Now, first things first, how did the business start and what kind of made you want to do this?
Well, okay, I've actually been an industry veteran for 18 years already. So I've always worked within this industry for other people. Mm. I've been on the whole value chain, right? So I've been in the site where the manufacturing was done. I've been in the business development side of things. I've been in retail hearing care, managing a large operations. And I've been both in the implant side of business as well as the more consumer side of business. So when I kind of did the whole round, I realized that three years ago that I had the skills and the resources to actually do it in the way that I envisioned, as opposed to fulfilling the vision of someone else.
Right.
And at that point of time, when all the pieces seemed to be in place, and I felt this was the time to do it. Yeah. And you reach that moment where I think you just know. And that's the moment you have to act.
Now, for everybody listening here today, one of the questions that I have to ask, obviously, with it being your own company, is how did you go about financing something like this?
Okay, so, well, you could always self-finance, right? So the first thing that budding entrepreneurs do is they often try to self-finance.
Mm.
And that's great because it limits your exposure. It's on a scale that you maybe can manage at the start. But because I'd done this at a much larger scale for a lot of people, I felt to come out and to do this at scale, I would want more resources. And I was able to kind of put together a very benign set of shareholders who were both friends and both institutionally quite savvy about our industry. And even get basically sounding boards and people who were very much more advanced and more senior to me than me to provide experience in terms of getting this going. So with that, I put together both the expertise as well as the financing. And from there, that's how we started, yeah.
And it's always good to have people around you in the know as well, right?
Oh, awesome. Yeah, that's definitely correct, because I had with me, you know, CEOs of maybe the largest manufacturers of hearing devices in the world. We were friends and I was able to get their opinion and input, and they would maybe spend 30 to 45 minutes of their time, but they would give me very sound advice, quite prescient things that I might not have been able to see. And because of that, I think the company is a lot better off than it is, and that's why we're the fastest growing in Southeast Asia, for our trade at least, in the last 2 to 3 years.
So the pitch that I received is about how your company is changing the hearing care experience for the hearing aid. How exactly are you doing that? What are you doing differently compared to other, you know, hearing care centers?
Okay, so I get this a lot when people they visit maybe different hearing care centers in Malaysia, right? So Malaysia is a big place. So if you visit, you do a hearing test or you visit a hearing care center somewhere in the outskirts versus if you do it in the city, the experience can be very different. And when I say different, it can be like, it can be a sense of time travel. You know, you think that, hey, I'm in a place where it's the late 90s and I'm in a place where it's clearly 2000s, right? The setup is different.
Yeah.
The sound insulation is very different. The devices, how the testing is done is very different. And in Malaysia, you actually see this very wide disparity.
Mm.
So in that sense, I felt that a lot of that had to modernize because the science had developed tremendously in the last 10 years. Imagine if your phone got so much smarter and smaller, all this was actually happening maybe two times faster in a hearing, and a medical-grade hearing device.
Right.
So I felt it was my duty and maybe my vision to bring that sort of technology out to the forefront in Malaysia.
And do you think that by kind of pushing these boundaries and making things more modern, I mean, I'm looking at pictures of the listening lab and it looks very slick. It looks like something, you know, futuristic. It looks very nice. Has this altered your operating costs, do you think?
Well, certainly. So you have to have some sort of commitment, right? Because you're trying to change the game. You're going to bring innovation, and innovation is never affordable. It's never very friendly to your wallet.
Right.
So innovation has some sort of risk, some sort of sacrifice, which is why actually a majority of the companies actually don't innovate, because they think it's better to just take profit.
Yeah.
Why take the risk and create the road that other people will tread on, right?
So. Yeah.
But if you really believe that you're providing new value, then at some kind of time, you have to be able to look at the risk and reward and say, hey, look, how much do I believe in my concept, right? And then go with that and say, look, I'm going to do it my way, or I'm going to be like anyone else. And Listening Lab decided to do it in the way that we felt scientifically was the best way.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about the importance of a complete hearing care experience. You know, what does it entail, and how should it be delivered for everyone?
Okay, so traditionally, hearing devices were fitted. You come in, you think you have a problem, or a doctor refers you, for example, to a neighborhood audiology or hearing center, which is the industry trade name for this. And then you do a test, and then you get a device. Someone puts it on you, and he says, "Oh, this is good for you," and let's go. And you're kind of done, right? So.
Yeah.
And then the person goes off, she has an electronic device on his or her ear. And typically, they're not young, right? They are maybe in their 50s, because it's about 60 where people typically first start their journey with hearing devices.
Mm.
And they're not really savvy with the device, because a device from 20 years ago versus a device now, the one now can be manipulated by apps in your phone, can be modulated with sound by simple controls on your apps. So there are a lot of things, there are a lot of steps that a good user needs to cross in order to use a device quite well.
Right.
So that's typically what the experience is. In Listening Lab, we take care of basically her whole journey. This person comes in with a loss, is educated about what the loss is about, is basically given good information about the anatomy of hearing in general, and then sampled the different types of hearing devices, sometimes taking it home for a while to find out whether the device really works.
Right.
And then from there, we take care, and she decides to make the commitment to go with the device. We take care of her hearing needs. Hearing is quite a complex sense. It's something that if you haven't heard for 20 years, and I put normal hearing on you suddenly, if you haven't heard properly in 20 years, you're going to find normal hearing to be tremendously uncomfortable. So much noise, so much input. So you're happier in a quiet place because you heard a lot less. Is it normal? No. Is it more comfortable? Yes. So our job is to bring that sense of perception to something that is normal and yet comfortable. That means we are training your brain to hear again at normal levels.
Got it. Okay, at this point, let's just take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk about how hearing loss can perhaps be prevented, talk a little bit about some of the consultants that and how you go about training these people as well. And then we'll move on to stuff like stigma and expansions and all kinds of stuff when we come back in just a few moments. You're listening to The Listening Lab here on Open for Business. It is Kelvin Lee, the founder and CEO of Listening Lab. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Banana from Malaysia. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Open for Business here on Enterprise. I have on the phone line, I believe you're in Singapore right now, Kelvin, is that correct?
That's right. The Listening Lab is headquartered in Singapore, and I'm generally based in Singapore, and I visit Malaysia a lot.
So that is Kelvin Lee, the founder and CEO of Listening Lab. What year were you founded, Kelvin?
Oh, the Listening Lab was founded in 2017. Actually, we've just passed our third anniversary in the middle of COVID.
Oh, dear.
And yeah, it's been some journey.
Oh, dear. Now, so we're in the middle of COVID, obviously, and so business is a little slack for some people. How has it affected your business?
Okay, so there was no getting past CMO. CMO, when everything shut down, very few services were deemed really essential. And we realized across different countries considered essential services differently. So in Singapore, when we were essential service, we remained open. In Malaysia, we did not.
Right.
We were not included in the essential service sector. So certainly in that 6 to 8 weeks, I think things were really very slow. We were based in malls, and the malls were basically a completely quietly dead zone.
Mm. Yeah.
So we were certainly affected. So, but when things opened up, we realized normality came back fairly quickly. I mean, a pandemic does not take away hearing loss. Hearing loss stays with you.
Yeah.
And at least for that reason, we gained back some semblance of normality.
It seems really odd that Malaysia does not see this as a priority service, hearing loss, as it were.
So we certainly objected to that, because in general, can you imagine if you're a hearing impaired senior, you're using your devices and maybe they were faulty some way or something happened and you needed it back, you were cut off from the rest of the world because in the pandemic they made you stay at home.
Yeah.
Your family couldn't really come to visit you, and then your senses, hearing particularly, the one that allows you to communicate with people, that's impaired.
Mm.
I can imagine it would have been quite a traumatic experience for people who really needed their device and couldn't get services or to get them working, functioning well.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of worries me just a little bit. I never thought of it like that, but obviously for me, I would see it as an essential service. Anyway, that's just my opinion, of course. Now, obviously, you know, even in the last 3 years, science has progressed so quickly, technology has progressed so quickly. How have things changed in your industry over the last few years? And what have been some of the kind of major breakthroughs?
Okay, well, I think in general that you can categorize the breakthroughs into two sections, right? The first one is the ability to hear, the audiological progress of the devices, meaning how much better they deliver more sound with more fidelity and clarity to the person. That would be the first segment.
Mm.
The second segment were generally comfort features that enable a hearing aid to be worn without any sort of intrusiveness. You would put it on and maybe not feel it at all. Previously, this was a bit harder to achieve because devices were bigger, chunkier, they hung on you, or they sounded a bit, you know, less natural.
Yeah.
So it categorized these changes into two parts. Now, to talk about the first part, audiologically, what has really changed is that as our ability, if you know, was it Hooke's law, where the microprocessors get smaller and smaller, the ability, your transistors get smaller and smaller.
Oh, Moore's law.
Moore's law, that's right. Sorry, yeah. Thank you. Moore's law. So in Moore's law has directly impacted hearing devices because it's electronics.
Mm.
So today's hearing aids process information many, many, many times faster than a device from 10 years ago. If you had all the money in the world and you bought yourself the best hearing device 10 years ago, it functions nothing like something at the entry level today.
Right.
That's how much difference it makes.
Right.
And what does it do for the user? What it does for the user is that sound becomes much sharper, much clearer. The ability to discern voice from noise is much more precise. And that's the big benefit. Nobody wants to hear just noise.
Mm.
You want to discern speech from noise. And that's the big benefit scientifically for the audio, in terms of audiological progress.
Do you think...
In terms of the
carry on, please.
In terms of the comfort features, a lot of the things that we see in consumer products today have gone to medical devices, medical hearing aids, for example, rechargeability, no longer fiddling with little bits of batteries that are half the size of a 1 cent coin. and you know, people who are older and they have like arthritic problems and dexterity problems, they fumble with batteries they needed to change every few days.
Yeah.
That's gone. Yeah.
Oh, that's
connecting
gone.
A voice. Yeah, it's gone. Actually, the entire thing now is rechargeable, just very much like your iPods.
Right.
You slot them in a little charger.
Yeah.
Within 3 hours, they give you 20 hours of use.
Wow.
Yeah. The other big, big benefit is that previously people had to put their phones near the hearing aids. And these days, everything is voice streamed. Everything is audio streamed. You can get direct input from your phone to your hearing aids without raising your phone anywhere, not even pulling it out of the pocket.
That's amazing. I mean,
yeah. And people are very much happier with it.
When I look back a few years ago to my late grandfather and my late father, when I looked at my late grandfather's hearing aids, these were enormous things that had big pink things that went over the back of the ears, with a switch and batteries that you couldn't find sometimes, at the local grocery store or whatever. And then my father's, obviously, they were considerably smaller. And nowadays we're talking about hearing aids that are practically invisible. And I think the reason that perhaps my grandfather and indeed my father were a little bit, shall we say, reticent about wearing them was not so much that it admitted there was a failure of some kind of part of their human body. It was they just looked odd for somebody and they didn't like wearing them like that. So do you see more people coming to you nowadays because, they're not that they're fashionable, but they're less not fashionable. Does that make sense?
Mm. Yeah, it does. It does. So, in general, the statement we love to live by, and this is very much true if you've seen social situations, the statement we live by is that a hearing loss is way more noticeable than a hearing aid.
Right.
And what do I mean by that, right? If you have a hearing loss and you're not aided, you're constantly asking people to repeat.
Yes.
And someone tells a joke, everyone is laughing, this guy isn't laughing, everyone's wondering, maybe his sense of humor is odd.
Mm.
When someone talks to you, you say something, he leans in, he says what? And his body language leans in into your personal space. And then you feel, hey, I'm not so close with you, right?
Mm.
These are things that normal hearing people pick up and notice very differently from, hey, this guy doesn't seem to be hearing me well.
Right.
And that's what I mean by hearing loss is very noticeable as opposed to a hearing aid. A hearing aid today is so small and it fits losses up to severe levels of losses that is hidden entirely by the external outer ear, the cartilage that we call the pinna.
Mm.
It hides it almost completely. Unless someone is taking a real morbid fascination in your ear, walks right up to your ear, it's unlikely he'd be able to see it. So what we've been able to do is made it so small, it's concealed by the profile of your ear, yet allow this person to hear at a level that does not change his personal behavior. And I think that's the accomplishment of the science today.
Obviously, I work in an industry where I have to wear headphones, for very long periods of time. And often I'm listening to sounds at, higher levels than I should be. And I'm obviously at risk of stuff like tinnitus and hearing loss, just as part of my job. And when we talk about tinnitus, and a lot of people are familiar with this, I'm sure, those of you that may have gone to rock and roll concerts in your teenage years and into your 20s may also suffer from this, whether or not it's the high-pitched squealing or, the kind of wishy-washy sounds within your ears. Has there been progress for tinnitus as well?
Okay, so before I get to that part, if this were a not, if circuit break, MCO, CMCO was not on, I'd be in the studio doing a live interview, right?
Mm.
And what you would be the third radio DJ that I would have to do a hearing test for.
Mm.
And the last two, both had hearing loss.
Yes.
Before the age that hearing loss typically is picked up.
Right.
So yes, in that sense, you're right. Your job does have a certain hazard. It tends to, because you get a lot of sound, maybe too much, and for long periods of time, this results in what we call a noise-induced hearing loss.
Right.
So this is common with people maybe in your industry or similar sorts of industry where your noise exposure is equivalent.
Mm.
Right. So that's the first bit. Now, tinnitus. So some of people who work in such environments typically encounter tinnitus on a much more commonplace situation, much more commonly. So tinnitus typically is the first indication that your hearing might not be right. And when I say tinnitus, I don't mean the tinnitus that comes every week for 10 seconds or 2 minutes and goes away. I'm talking about the tinnitus that you hear all the time.
Yes.
people who hear tinnitus can hear it all the time when they're eating, when they're trying to sleep, when they're trying to work. That is tinnitus as a condition that is that has a detrimental effect on your body.
Yes.
So that tinnitus typically is often a signal that some sort of hearing loss has occurred. You should be getting input to the brain. The brain realizes that's missing. It now starts to hear its own operating signals, and that sometimes is perceived as a whine, a thin sound called tinnitus.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do have tinnitus, the first step, do a hearing test.
Right.
If you have hearing loss, then getting amplification can help to reduce the perception of tinnitus.
I will be coming down to Listening Lab when you're next back in town,
you're
Kelvin.
You're very welcome, yes. Please, just give me a call. I'll make an appointment for you.
Yes, when you're next back in town. Anyway, we've pretty much wrapped up for the show. But before I let you go, where do you see Listening Lab going next? What do you think you'll be doing in like a year's time or 2 years' time?
Okay, the Listening Lab has... we have fairly aggressive expansion plans. We don't intend to let up. We are always on the lookout to acquire assets or existing hearing centers that can be brought into our fold, and we look at the value that we can add to transform that business, turn it around, deliver better hearing care to that community. And Listening Lab is always looking out for such opportunities, and we have completed such opportunities several times in our short 3 years. We also intend to bring in a whole range of new services. We've already implemented several new services, listening rehabilitation being the latest one, where people who have fitted out hearing aids come in for lessons. They do listening training sessions with our therapist that not just handles the part about hearing, but also training the brain to hear. And those are our initiatives that we've just passed and we're not going to let up.
Kelvin, thank you very much for your time today.
Oh, you're most welcome, and thank you for having me, Rich.
Absolute pleasure. That was Kelvin Lee, the founder and CEO of Listening Lab. If you'd like more information, you can head over to their website first. Kelvin, what is your website address?
Yes, it's listeninglab, one word, .ny.
All right.
And that's it.
Okay, simple as that. You have been tuned in to Open for Business here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.